Well, good morning. I am Jake from State Farm. This morning here to help give you any sort of insurance rates that you may need. You just let me know. But just kidding, I do not work for State Farm, so do not come to me asking for your State Farm questions or any sort of insurance questions, because I don't have any for you. But anyway, we are glad that you are here this morning. Welcome. Man, we are just so happy to see each and every single one of you here this morning. Just got a couple of things to run through with you. If you haven't yet, make sure that you grab your cup for communion. Those are located on one of the back tables back there in the back of the sanctuary. So if you could just pick up one of those, and then on your way out, throw those in one of the trash cans as well. So there's that. Also today, if you haven't noticed, it is our annual Red, White, and Blue Sunday. So I see a lot of you wearing red, white, or blue, or a combination of all three. I guess if you're wearing purple, that's like the combination of them all. So if you're wearing purple, good for you. So there's that, but after the service today, there is going to be a potluck that's going to be outside. I think we got burgers and dogs and all sorts of stuff. So if you are here, we would love to have you here, and we would love to have you join us after that as well. So there's that. Also, if you may have noticed as you were walking in today that Julie has her booth all set up for Rafa International. And Rafa, what they specialize is that they specialize in rescuing women and children from human trafficking. And so we love them, and we are actually going to be working with them again this year. And so on Sunday night, August 29th, we are going to have our annual kickoff. And so with that, we are bringing in a comedian ventriloquist by the name of Dave Pendleton. So if that's something that you would like to come to, then you can actually purchase tickets today. They are $15 per person, or $12.50 for a family or a group of four or more. So make sure that you grab that as well. Next I have is that if you check out your bulletin, Wade is still looking for some helpers with VBS. So if there's any way, shape, or form that maybe you'd want to help out with VBS, then make sure that you just let Wade know. And then lastly, with today being the 4th, there will be no evening services tonight as well. So if you show up here tonight, it may just be you hanging out in the parking lot, because the building should be hopefully be locked and alarmed. But if you do try to come in and the alarm's on, you'll be greeted by a nice police officer wanting to put you in some cuffs, and you have to call someone else like Jake from State Farm and maybe get you out. That's all that I have for you guys this morning. Again, if you have any questions about anything, then feel free to see me, and I will help you out as much as possible. But I'll pass off to Katie, and we'll start worshiping together.
Would you all stand for a call to worship from Psalm 103? Let all that I am praise the Lord. With my whole heart, I will praise his holy name. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things that he does for me.
Be the name of the Lord.
Start singing a new song with you. You may have heard it on your way in, or you may just be familiar with it from the radio, but we'd like to invite you to join us whenever you feel comfortable.
You are here, working in this place. I worship you, I worship you. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are here, touching every heart. I worship you, I worship you. You are here, healing every heart. I worship you, I worship you. You are here, turning lives around. I worship you, I worship you. You are here, mending every heart. I worship you, I worship you. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. 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 You are waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Darkness, my God, that is who you are. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. Never stop, you never stop working. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
Your seats. Let's pray together. Almighty God, we pray for your blessing on the church in this place. Here, may the faithful find salvation and the careless be awakened. Here, may the doubting find faith and the anxious be encouraged. Here, may the tempted find help and the sorrowful find comfort. Here, may the weary find rest and the strong be renewed. Here, may the aged find consolation and the young be inspired. We know that all of this is possible because of the power of your Son's sacrifice. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen.
Les came back from World War II without one arm and missing several fingers on the other hand. He's carried the price tag of freedom in his own body ever since. He's like so many who purchased and preserved our freedom at great cost. It is a cost that they can never forget, because they bear on their bodies and in their minds the horrors of war. But Les came back. Tens of thousands of others never came back from World War II, or Korea, or Vietnam, or from the deserts of the Middle East. There was a war for all the human race in which freedom for all people was purchased. This freedom was purchased at great cost as well. The symbol of that cost is not a hillside of white crosses, or the tomb of the unknown soldier, or a black wall with names written on it. As precious as these symbols are to those who know them and the people they represent, they do not compare to the symbol of the empty tomb. The empty tomb is the symbol of the cost of true freedom for all people. The cost of Jesus leaving the splendor and the glories of heaven. It is the symbol of an agonizing death on a cross when he had the power to prevent it. It is also the symbol of 3 days in the ground. You see, the empty tomb is the sign of ultimate freedom. It is the reminder that we no longer have to fear death. As the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? For the Christian, Independence Day doesn't come once a year. No, for Jesus' followers, Independence Day comes every Sunday. The early Christians met on the first day of the week, the Lord's Day, to take of the Lord's Supper. By the end of the first century, Sunday had become the Lord's Day, and on this day they remembered the Lord's death and anticipated his return, because freedom from death had been won. Independence Day is the day of the empty tomb. So today, let's remember the cost of our freedom and give thanks. Would you pray with me, please? As we come around this table, Father, we are thankful for the freedom that we found in your Son, Jesus. And we remember that cost when we take that wafer and place it on our tongue and remember the perfect body that hung there on that cross. And we remember the cost of our freedom when we take that cup and remember that the juice represents your shed blood, shed for our forgiveness and our freedom. I ask a blessing upon this meal today and upon those of us who partake, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Rebecca. Before I climb up there, I've got some announcements. So if you want to write on the back of your bulletins, you better do that, because these are so important. Number one, this old preacher is resurrecting an old ministry that we had here at Plainfield. I'm talking old. We were still in the original building. And what that ministry involves is somebody with halfway decent penmanship. I mean, if you write like a doctor, don't come. But I have names and addresses of people that have moved into the community. And I would like to have some volunteers that would enjoy just spending an hour here at the church. I'll try to be here, you know, just to entertain you while you're doing this work, but I can't guarantee it. But you'll have the names and addresses, and you write them out on a plain envelope, and at the top, for the return address, you don't put the church's name, you just write the church's address name minus the church. And see, and that fakes these people out when they get personal mail. They think that it's something really special, and they open it. And there is an invitation for us, from us, to come to church. So if you would like to do that, call and let me know, and then I'll have your name and number, and I can call you and say, we're going to do this for an hour Tuesday afternoon or Monday morning or whatever works. Okay, so that's the first thing. Second thing is there's no evening service tonight. Just because I know you guys are going to be shooting off fireworks, and you know I didn't want to just cramp your style on that, so giving you the night off. Thank you for my flag setters. It just pained me not to be able to do that, but I've not been feeling well, and I got real sick yesterday, so they responded by coming and putting those up this morning. And then also everybody that has contributed so far to the potluck, there are some cupcakes made by two little girls very near and dear to my heart. And they probably will be gone by the time I get through line. But I want to tell you, I looked at my shoe, and the frosting is delicious. I thought that might be what that was, and I touched it, tasted it, and sure enough, that's what it was, that frosting. The insert that I made today is not an outline, it's history. And if you don't have one, you're going to want one. And let me get some volunteers to pass these out, because you're going to need those. Chuck, I'll get you. Jeff, how about you? Thank you. This outline is a part of the message. It is it's real history. I'm talking real history, not rewritten, not revisionist. It's true history, not something that somebody has changed in order to shame us Americans. It is real history, written by our first presidents of the United States and a Supreme Court Justice and Patrick Henry. So those will be very important as we go to the sermon. I didn't want to have to reread those, because you guys are all intelligent and can do that yourself. So, remind me when I get ready to pray at the end of the service to go ahead and pray for the meal. Because I know how you guys, we've been waiting for this potluck forever. And we're going to have great food out there. So I know you're going to just want to stampede out and get going. But, you know, be mindful of us old people. And but I'll have the prayer so the food will be blessed. And I can guarantee you that my blessings are good for at least 30 minutes. You know, so I can pray for a blessing on the food and it'll still be good 30 minutes later. So you'll be safe on that. Okay, thank you for passing those things out. If you have your Bibles, then we'll turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2. And if you're joining us from home, and by the time it gets close to noon and you're feeling hungry, just hop in your car, stop on your way in, Kentucky Fried Chicken or, you know, someplace, get yourself a bucket of chicken, bring it with you, and then just join us at the end. We don't, you know, we're not going to ask for your bulletin to prove you've been here or anything like that. You can join us and eat. We're just so excited to be able to eat together and have that fellowship. So if you get hungry before noon, just hop in your car and drive over and join us. I'll ask you who you are, but other than that, you're welcome to come and party with us. 1 Timothy chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. First of all, then, I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men, for kings and all who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and one mediator also between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, the testimony given at the proper time. Would you pray with me, please? Almighty God, as we have assembled here this morning to worship and to praise you, we thank you, first of all, for that marvelous gift that you have created within each one of us called a voice. And whether it's good or bad, loud or soft, we can make noise with that voice. And I pray that as we made those noises to you this morning, that you were pleased with that worship. And as we come to a Sunday where the message is more topical in nature, I pray that your Holy Spirit would be able to do work like only he can. And that's to speak to every heart and mind according to the needs that they have as they walked in this building today. And though it might not be directly from your word, verse by verse, I pray that your Holy Spirit would be given an opportunity to speak truth to our heart, to an encouragement and enlightening of our soul, and that we might leave this place, as Katie prayed earlier, changed into the image of your Son, in whose name I pray. Amen. Happy birthday, America! 245 years young. I love it when we have the 4th of July on a Sunday, because that gives us an opportunity to do two things. We can celebrate our independence, but we can also thank God, who we ought to be thanking, for the freedom that we have in this nation. And when the 4th isn't on a Sunday, we don't often get a chance to do that as a body. So there we go. I love America, don't you? There is no place like her on earth. Someone wrote these interesting words entitled "Only in America." Only in America can a pizza get to your house faster than an ambulance. Only in America are there handicapped parking spaces in front of a skating rink. Only in America did drugstores make the sick walk all the way to the back of the store to get their prescription, while the healthy people can buy cigarettes right up front. Only in America do people order double cheeseburgers, large fries, and a Diet Coke. Only in America do we leave cars worth thousands of dollars in the driveway and put our junk in the garage. Hello, I'm one of them. Only in America do we use answering machines to screen calls and have call waiting so we won't miss a call from someone we didn't want to talk to in the first place. Only in America do we buy hot dogs in packages of 10 and buns in packages of 8. A number of years ago, This piece was written by a comedian. His name is George Carlin. And he called it the paradox of our time. And for a comedian, this isn't funny, but true. The paradox of our time and history is that we have taller buildings but shorter tempers, wider freeways but narrower viewpoints. We spend more but have less. We buy more but enjoy less. We have bigger houses and smaller families, more conveniences but less time. We have more degrees but less sense, more knowledge but less judgment, more experts yet more problems, more medicine but less wellness. We drink too much, smoke too much, spend too recklessly, laugh too little, drive too fast, get angry too soon, stay up too late, get up too tired, read too little, watch TV too much, and pray too seldom. We've multiplied our possessions but reduced our values. We talk too much but love too seldom and hate too often. We've learned how to make a living but not a life. We've added years to life, not life to years. We've been all the way to the moon and back, but have trouble crossing the street to meet a new neighbor. We've done larger things, but not better things. We've cleaned up the air, but polluted the soul. We've conquered the atom, but not our prejudice. We plan more, but accomplish less. We've learned to rush, but not to wait. Isn't that true? As I was preparing this message, I found myself constantly calming myself down. Now, you've been around me for all of these years, know exactly where I'm headed with this. I am so excited about the 4th. I love America. I love it when I'm at a funeral and we have the Kent County Honor Guard and members of the active military there. I love that. I found myself getting upset over and over with all of this negativity about this great land. You know, it has become kind of a popular thing to be un-American. Olympians who have already said that when they get to Japan this summer, they are not going to recognize the flag. Athletes who want to kneel during the playing of the national anthem. I know that because we have freedom in this country, they are allowed to do that. But I just think that if they find this country so awful, then they ought to pick up their belongings and go someplace where they think it's better. We have two presidents that go around to the rest of the world apologizing for what America has done. That's baloney. Let me tell you what America has done. We fought the fascists, the Nazis, and the communists so that this world could be free. We've given boatloads of money to other countries to bail them out of trouble, and not once have we been repaid. That's what America has done. I don't think we should apologize for that. I think we should say, hey, pay up. You owe us. But that's just me. Do you remember way back? Now, some of you don't have this. You can't remember that far back. Do you remember way back when we would begin every morning in school by standing and reciting the Pledge of Allegiance? Oh, yeah. Did that make us better students? No. I was always hoping it did, but it didn't. Didn't work. Did it make us more patriotic? I don't know. But it reminded us that we belong to a great country and we were proud to be Americans. When some people look at our flag, they think of it as just an emblem or a symbol, but not according to the U.S. Code, Title 36, Section 176, under Respect for the Flag. The flag represents a living country and is itself considered a living thing. I'm not sure that our children and our grandchildren are being taught that anymore. I'm not sure our our children and our grandchildren are being taught the history of our country. There are some other things that I'm afraid can't be taught to our children because of the liberal agenda being crammed down our throats. And on this 4th of July weekend, I want to remind you that there is a war still being waged. Satan hates Jesus. And he will do everything in his power to make sure that the Word of God and the influence of Christianity is stifled in this nation. Those who oppose evangelism and the conquering Christ do not want anyone to know or remember that this country had her start based on the principles of God's Word. How many of you know that as you walk up the steps to the building which houses the U.S. Supreme Court, you can see near the top of the building a row of the world's lawgivers, and each one is facing one in the middle who is facing forward with a full frontal view. Know who it is? It's Moses holding up the Ten Commandments. As you enter the U.S. Supreme Court courtroom, there are two huge oak doors that have the Ten Commandments engraved on each lower portion of each door. Every session of Congress, both House and Senate, begins with a prayer by a paid Christian preacher whose salary has been paid by U.S. taxpayers since 1789. 52 of the 55 founders of the Constitution were members of the established Christian churches in the colonies. When the Washington Monument was completed in Washington, D.C. in 1885, Congress decreed that no other structure was to supersede the monument's height of 555 feet. Etched into the east side of the capstone, top of the Washington Monument, you know, it goes right up into a pyramid. On the east side of the capstone are the words, Laus Deo, praise be to God. Think of it. At the highest pinnacle of the world's most powerful nation is an acknowledgement to the only source that made it all possible, God Almighty. There may be legislators who don't know that. There may be presidents who don't know that. There may be Supreme Court justices who don't know that. But at the very top of the tallest structure in our nation's capital are these words, praise be to God. Liberals today would have you believe that our founding fathers were religious, yes, but Christian, eh. And that's why I've given you that piece of paper. They'd like for you to think that they only gave vague recognition to a supreme being, and there's a little bit of a problem with that rendition of history. So while I finish preaching, you can just read that. That'll give you something to do. If you've read it already, you can see that despite what modern politicians may say or what the contemporary media might claim or what the revisionists of history might declare, this great nation of ours, the United States of America, was founded not on the concept of freedom to worship any god, Buddha, Allah, you name it, but on the freedom to worship Jesus, the Christ. I'll promise you, your children are not going to hear those facts of history anytime soon in their social studies classes. Our Christian teachers in our public schools have their hands and their tongues tied by the administrators above them. But you must tell them. You! It's up to you and I to teach our children and our grandchildren the facts of our American Christian heritage. Here in America, in God we still trust. When our leaders take office, they still place their hand on the Bible. His name is on our greatest monuments and on our money, too. If you don't believe me, just take out some, and after you've finished reading it, give it. Because I want to make sure that yours says that. He's the the one that we turn to every time the going gets rough. He's the source of all of our strength and the one who watches over us from the schoolhouse to the courthouse to the White House. The so-called brightest minds are trying to figure out how to turn our country around. Get America back on its feet financially. How to restore our reputation as the leader of the world. And my friend, if we want to turn America around, it doesn't start in the schoolhouse or the courthouse or the White House. It has to start in the church house. If we ever get our act together again, get on our knees and repent before Almighty God and ask Him to shed His grace on we, that's when we might see a turnaround of epic proportions. We call today Red, White, and Blue Sunday. Those are the colors of the American flag. Have you ever stopped to think what those colors stand for? Red stands for courage. Men and women have had the courage to stand up and fight for our country. They've defended our country against our enemies, and many have died in the service of our country. White stands for purity. Purity means to do what is right. We hope and pray that our country will always stand for what is right. And blue stands for justice. We end the Pledge of Allegiance with the words, with liberty and justice for all. That means that in our country, everyone should be treated fairly and with respect. Red, white, and blue is not only the color of the American flag, it's the color of the Christian flag. We don't say blue, red, and white, or white, blue, and red, or white, red, and blue. We always say red, white, and blue. And that's God's method of salvation. Are you listening? Red is the blood. White is the holiness. And blue stands for heaven. Through the blood of Jesus comes holiness or purity, and then heaven or paradise. The colors red, white, and blue remind me of our country, but they also remind me of Jesus. Red reminds me of Jesus' blood that was shed when he died on the cross for my sin. And that's very important because the Bible says that without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission of sin. White reminds me that when I give my heart and life to Jesus, when I obey him and bury that old man of sin in the waters of baptism, he washes me and I become as white as snow. The Bible says that you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Blue reminds me of God's faithfulness. Hebrews 10:23 says, let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess, for he who promised is faithful. God is faithful to keep his promises. Many soldiers have given their blood so that we can worship freely. In our country's 245 years, the price of freedom has been 12 major wars, and over 675,000 lives. Freedom is not cheap. The price of forgiveness of our sins was not cheap either. It cost Jesus Christ his life. Christianity has been accused of being a bloody religion. You better believe it. The word blood is found 463 times in Scripture. The center of our faith is the Christian cross. And crucifixion was a bloody death. This morning as we worship, we do not see blood. However, the blood of Jesus is symbolically displayed all over this auditorium. We have a blood-like cup. Remember? I refer to it every week. That cup represents the blood of our Savior. We have a blood-drenched cross here on the wall, on top of our flag, and in the front of this pulpit. Yeah, isn't that something? It's because your preacher's so old, we still have one of these. And we still got the cross on the front. We have a blood-stained book. And we've got blood-tinged water that every precious soul that comes to Christ is obedient in that grave. We can't have the white and the blue until first we apply the red, the blood of Jesus, to our souls. I know this is a different message, but this is a different day. We're starting over. Things are returning. I don't know when we're going to get rid of the noisemakers. I kind of miss that noise if we do. But they're going to come and sing. They're going to come and sing. And as they're making their way, would you stand with me, please? And I'll have the prayer dismissal and prayer for the food. It's good for 30 minutes. So take your time. I'm going to go home and get my wife, bring her back, hopefully. So let's go to God in prayer. Father, we are so thankful for both of the freedoms that we enjoy as your children. First of all, the freedom we have in this country, and how thankful we are that we live in America. And the freedom that we have in your son, Jesus. For our citizenship isn't really here. It's in a place that outshines the sun, where the roses never fade, where your throne is placed, and you outshine our sun. Father, we're thankful for the opportunity to come together and to worship and to praise you and to be thankful. And we're also thankful for the opportunity that you have given us, finally, that we can meet with brothers and sisters in Christ, slip our knees under a table and to fellowship one with another. Grateful for the food that has been prepared. I pray a blessing on each hand that has fixed it. I pray a blessing on those who have been preparing outside for our coming. Finally, I pray that you would bless the food and the fellowship. And I pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Bless the Lord, oh
my soul, oh my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I'll worship your holy name.
And on that day when my strength is failing, the end draws near and my time has come, still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore, bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship his holy.
Joining us this morning.